Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 7. Tonight we will study text number 19.
Bahunam janma namante gyanavan mam prapajyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha.
Krishna says, after many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me. Knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a great soul is very rare. So here Krishna is describing someone who realizes him. How many people in this world realize Krishna? It's extremely rare. Extremely rare that somebody actually realizes Krishna. Krishna is actually the Supreme. He's God, Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the source from which everything is coming. Actually, that's why you exist. You exist because Krishna is emanating you from himself. The scientists say, well, you just came out of some molecular soup. But they don't know where the molecular soup came out of. You see? The fact is that everything has an origin. And that thing has an origin. If you trace it back until you come to that origin, it has no origin. Until you come to that cause that has no causes, then you've come to God. Just like you have a father, right? And his father has a father, that's your grandfather. And his father has a father, that's your great-grandfather. And then your great-great-grandfather, your great-great-great-grandfather, your great-great-great-great-grandfather, and your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. But if you trace back till you come to that father who has no father, you see, that's God. The original Father is God. And he has many millions of different names. How many languages are there on this planet? Hundreds of languages. You see. So in each language there's a name for God. So according to the expert etymologists, the original language is Sanskrit language. The language that the Bhagavad Gita was written in. And in the Sanskrit language, the name for God is Krishna. So whether you call him Krishna or God, it's the same thing. God is the word in English language. The reason we say it's the same thing is God is not, you know, I don't think he has an American passport. I mean, he's not bound to any particular nation. He's not bound to any particular language. He's multilingual. You see, he can understand any language. So if you want to call him out in English language by saying God, if you want to call him out in Hindi language by saying Ishvara, you see, or in German, or in Spanish, Dios, you see. God isn't fussy. What God wants is your love. That's what God wants. He wants us to love him. That means, see, purely love him. Many people say, I love God, but they're thinking, God, give me this, give me, give me, give me, give me. That's selfish. We're approaching God with all of our material desires. That is not the way to approach God. The way to approach the Lord is the way of complete surrender. Even Lord Jesus taught this principle in the Bible. He says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. So one should take up the mood of selfless surrender to the Supreme. That is the actual way of pure God consciousness. That actually brings complete satisfaction to the self. As long as we approach God with our material desires, we'll get our material desires fulfilled by His grace. That's a fact. But actually, you know what we're doing when we do that? We're cheating ourselves. We're cheating ourselves out of getting Him. You may get your, you know, a raise in your job, or you may get a beautiful wife or a new car if you pray for those things. You see. But you won't get the Lord. You won't get Krishna. So those persons who are highly elevated in spiritual knowledge, they know that I should instead try to become a selfless lover of God, because in that way I actually achieve the Lord. A self-realized saint is actually completely happy even if he's in a state of poverty. Look at Jesus and the 12 disciples. They didn't have any bank account. They didn't have a place to live. They were completely happy. Or look at all the great yogis and saints in India. You see, they don't depend on it. They can be happy sleeping under a tree every night. So I'm not saying that everyone should go sleep under a tree. We're not saying that. But what we are saying is this. One should develop that mood. Hare Krishna. It's better without it. When it's this close, it's okay. One should develop the mood of pure loving service to the Supreme Being. This is the principle that we are teaching here in this Krishna consciousness movement. We want to teach you how to actually attain God. In other churches, they may tell you how to pray to God to get some money, to get this and that. And that's okay. But that's a lower level understanding of God consciousness. The higher level understanding is, why settle for some cheap trinkets when you can achieve the most valuable gem? Whatever material things we may achieve, even if it's a fancy sports car or a $1 million lottery, winning $1 million in the lottery. Whatever you may have in this material world, can you keep it forever? It comes in one hand and it goes out the next. You see, it comes in and it goes out. So instead of simply trying to achieve things in this world, we should try to achieve that which is unattainable by any amount of power, of any amount of money, or any amount of fame in this world. And that is, we should try to achieve the kingdom of God. Now, every church will tell you that if you follow their teaching, they will take you to the kingdom of God. But we have to actually understand what is the nature of the kingdom of God. And we have to cultivate that nature now. See? If you want to go and live in the kingdom of God, then you should develop the mentality that the persons in the kingdom of God have, so you'll fit in. It's like, for example, many people, I hope I'm not stepping any toes, but in America, meat eating is a very popular thing. Practically everyone eats meat. There's only maybe 12 million vegetarians, and everybody else is a meat eater. You see. And many people feel that you can eat meat and go to the kingdom of God. There's no problem. But what they fail to note is that, according to the Bible, in the kingdom of God, the lamb and the lion, they sit peacefully side by side. The carnivorous lion does not eat the lamb, you see. So even that lion who is always pouncing on creatures to eat them is a vegetarian in the spiritual world. And what to speak of the human beings, you see. So actually in the kingdom of God, no one is going around butchering animals and eating them. So in the kingdom of God, there's no meat eating. It's a place free of meat eating. So, do you think if I'm very addicted to eating meat, that every Sunday after church I have to go to McDonald's do you think, what will happen if I go to the kingdom of God and I find out they don't have McDonald's, they don't have the McDonald's franchise in the kingdom of God? What will I do? If every Sunday after church I go to McDonald's or Kentucky Fried, and I really have to, I mean, I have to. If I don't, it's like, oh, I have withdrawal symptoms, you know. Where's my Kentucky Fried? Where's my Big Mac? Where's my double cheeseburger? You see, can't live without it, right? So if I'm feeling that way, if I'm not addicted to eating flesh, the flesh of a dead animal, then what will happen to me when I end up in the kingdom of God and I look around? Okay, it's great to be here, Lord. Wow, I'm really happy to be here. Good to meet you. Oh, by the way, I'm getting a little hungry. Where is the nearest Kentucky Fried McDonald's? I don't see any around here. Oh, my God. I'll have to come back down to Coconut Grove, you see, to get my Big Mac or to get my Kentucky Fried. You see? So this is, we have to have this understanding that we really want to be qualified to live happily forever after in God's kingdom. We have to understand the mood of that kingdom and how to develop that mood right here, right now, while we're living here on planet Earth. That we have to do. So in this Krishna consciousness movement, sometimes people think we're too strict here, we have too many rules and regulations, but actually, we don't. We're just giving you the basic essential items that will make you qualified to live happily ever after in the kingdom of God. You see, the way that people live there, we're teaching our members to live that way here now, so that they'll be fully qualified to make that transition at the time of death to be an eternal resident of the kingdom of God. So I've been practicing Krishna consciousness now for 35 years. And for me now, it's just, you know, it's natural. You know, we only use sex for producing children, otherwise we're celibate. People can't imagine how we could possibly do that. Even within marriage, we practice celibacy. Unless I want to make my wife pregnant, you see, and have a child, I just abstain from sex. People can't imagine how you could do that. But the fact is that we are getting a taste which is much more enlivening than sex pleasure. That's a fact. Krishna consciousness is thousands of times more enjoyable than sex. That's why for us, celibacy is no big deal. Because we're enjoying something more pleasurable than sex, the chanting of Krishna's names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we avoid non-procreational sex. We don't do that. Because in the kingdom of God, even though the men and women are very beautiful there, and there are husbands and wives there, and they love each other very deeply, they're more attracted to Krishna than they are to each other. That's a fib. Even though they're peacefully living as husband and wife, they're more in love with Krishna than they are with each other. That love is the strongest love, the love of God, you see. That is the strongest love. It's stronger than any love between a man or a woman in this world. They are very much in love with Krishna. And they just want to talk about him and please him. So they're not so inclined for sexual enjoyment. They just want to give pleasure to Krishna by all their activities. And the next item, no meat eating. I've already explained that. No intoxication. In this world, we're very addicted to all kinds of bad habits, like caffeine and nicotine. Or marijuana, or LSD, or, you know, heroin, you know. Tell me? Alcohol, yeah, alcohol. So many bad habits. We know they're bad for us. And people who get addicted, they want to give it up, but they get so hooked on it, and there's so many billboards everywhere, promoting it, it's hard to give it up, and all their friends are doing it. So they have a hard time giving it up. But in Krishna consciousness, we have a whole community where we don't drink, we don't smoke, we abstain from caffeine, we just have a nice, healthy, clean diet of vegetarian food. We offer first to the Lord to sanctify it. Every meal we have here is holy communion. Every meal is Holy Communion for us. Why? As I was a Presbyterian boy growing up as a Christian, we had every 3 months we got a little wafer about that big. We got that much grape juice, and that was our Holy Communion. I mean, that was it. You had to go for 3 months on a little, about maybe 2 ounces of grape juice and a little tiny wafer, and that was supposed to keep you spiritually charged for 3 months. But in Krishna consciousness, everything we put in our mouth is a holy sacrament. Every meal, every breakfast is a holy sacrament, lunch, dinner, snacks, you know. It's all a holy sacrament. So every time you eat, you're getting sanctified. You don't have to wait 3 months for a little wafer. You get it at every meal. Krishna prasadam. So in this way, and then the final thing is no gambling. I mean, you know, actually there are people who have to go through psychological training who become gambling addicts. And they have to go through psychological training to get free from gambling. It becomes like an alcoholic addiction, gambling addiction. And we know that so many people who are, you know, wasting money on lottery tickets and they're never going to win. So we don't bother, you know. We know that if wealth is going to come to me according to my past karma, it will come anyway. I don't need to play the lottery to get my, you know, for my past karma to come and reward me. That will come anyway. So we don't gamble. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and we chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, with great delight. We love these names. These names are so sweet, and the more we chant them, the sweeter they get. I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 35 years. The same mantra every day for 2 or more hours. Same mantra for 35 years. And this mantra gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. So we urge you to take up this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Do you have any of our books? You're reading our books? Very good. Are you related to each other?
Yes.
Father and son?
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes.
So you come here often?
Yes.
Ah, very good. Do you chant on the beads also?
Hello?
Huh? The japa beads?
I got the japa mala.
You have some?
My home.
So you habla usted inglés, señor? Español, señor?
I speak Spanish. Yeah.
Spanish, okay. So, that is muy bueno, señor. You have japa mala. Muy bueno.
I have this book in Spanish.
In Español. Yes, muy bueno.
Yes.
So, we urge you to take very seriously this process of Krishna consciousness. And are you following our principles? Some of them? You follow our principles, some of them?
Yeah, you follow. Yeah.
Vegetarian?
Meat or vegetarian.
And yourself?
I understand, yes, too.
He's been for, he's gone to India.
I have several times in India now. I am a sannyasi.
He's a sannyasi, he's renounced.
I renounce.
You're celibate?
Celibate. He doesn't eat meat.
No, I don't eat meat.
That's very good. So you're initiated by some guru?
Yes.
Who is that?
Muttananda.
Huh?
Muttananda.
Oh, okay.
And,
Ganeshpur. Yes, yes.
Ganeshpur.
Yes, yes.
In the north of Bombay.
Yes, yes. Is he still living?
No, he passed away.
Yes, yes.
He's left the body about
1982.
Ah.
24 years ago.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
I have no time in this. Yeah, I love this way.
So?
The best I find in the whole world. Yeah, the best in the whole world. We can happen here in the yoga, really. He was very young. He was about 14 years old when he worked with me. And he said, oh, this is very rich. Very rich and old man. He said, he sent me to get inside with Muttananda over there. And he had a beautiful, beautiful time of that.
Mm.
He was 14, now he's 40.
Ah, yeah. So, yes, one has to realize that to realize the ultimate goal of spiritual perfection, that is our purpose. Material perfection is useless waste of time, ultimately, because we are meant to become spiritually perfect. That is our duty, actually. God has given us this duty in this human life. We are meant to become spiritually perfect. So kindly read these books very carefully and try to follow these teachings. Are there any questions? All right then. So we thank you all for hearing our class.
Thank you to you.
If you like, we have on the internet, I'm teaching one course. You can sign up for my e-course on the internet. Self-realization course. Every day you'll get an inspirational message, and every week you'll get a short lesson. If you'd like to cultivate self-realization in cyberspace, you're welcome to join my course. All right then, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.